I do loves me that song. And I can use it for free. So it's win-win. Hey, everyone. This is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, the show host. Hence its weird name. If you're listening to this for the first time, it's a comedy podcast about an hour long. If you ever listen to Howard Stern in the day or Opie and Anthony, it's kind of like that. We don't have like strippers and porn stars in the studio, God forbid. But we try to be funny. We try to talk about our lives, and the cast is other funny people, usually D.C. area comedians or, I don't know, in Howard's case, funny friends of mine who are not comedians. But yeah, we got over here Howard Flood.
Yeah, it's good to be on. I appreciate the compensation rate I've been getting these days from you. So.
Yeah, I'll get on that. One of these days. One of these days I'm going to make it big. No. But if I do, I will give you, I don't know, what would you want?
I'll put it this way. I feel like I'm going to be an a-hole. Can I use the full word? No.
Yeah, sure. Sure, you can say it.
All right. I'm going to be an asshole and say, like, if you get there, I'm going to take full credit for some of the things I'm going to tell you, like what you just said. This needs to be 2 half-hour shows we come in, man. I'm telling you, like, the kids these days, they got, like, 30 minutes worth of podcast attention.
I don't know, Joe Rogan's
that's
like
true.
Three
I check out
three
after like
15 long.
Minutes.
Joe Rogan has millions of followers built in.
Yeah, but I think it's
he's not building an audience.
That's
Howard
true.
Stern is not building an audience.
That's
you
true.
Are building an audience.
Well, I'm not doing that either, but you know. Well,
that's because you have an hour-long show. Kids are like, peace. I'm bouncing. Like, your bounce rate after 30 minutes, like, yeah, come on, man. Two episodes, because, like, once you change topics,
well, here's
that should
one
be a new
thing.
Episode. That's how podcasts work.
Here's
you no longer live in the
thing
radio era.
You can do to retain the kids, refer to them as episodes.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works.
That's how
you caught my work. Attention.
You also brought a millennial on the show.
Yeah.
It's great.
My token millennial, Travis Dorward.
Hello, my bowels are cleared. I feel ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, we're really soon, we actually are walking into this episode with something we want to talk about that's like current events relevant. We want to discuss in depth the movie A Quiet Place. So if you, when we get to that, there's going to be like mild, possibly moderate spoilers, maybe severe stuff. I don't know. Maybe we'll just give you the ending.
We might make up some stuff too.
That's true as well. Yeah. We, you know, as white men, we speak with the forked tongue. So don't trust us. Maybe we'll give away something.
We can change history.
Yeah. We could just throw something in. We'll be like,
what our people do.
Well, sure, he died, but also wasn't it sad when they had to kill the talking gorilla? And you won't know what's up, and suddenly the spoilers are moot. So before that, Travis, are you dying?
Well, first of all, we're all dying.
We
but,
are, by the day, by the second.
I think I am quicker than most people.
I just want to tell people when I was here early talking to the lovely flaxen-haired golden boy, Sam, at the front desk, who works at Fairfax County Public Access. Great, great facility. And Travis opens the door. I'm like, oh, here's Travis. He's ready to record. And Travis just... what do you just very quickly mutter like
bathroom
yeah literally just a line from Idiocracy from Dax Shepard's go away Baton
yeah.
Bathroom.
When I was about 12 or so minutes away, I started feeling like I had to throw up. Actually, I think my Starbucks mocha double shot wasn't sitting well.
Why wouldn't it be sitting well? Did you do anything last night that might cause it to?
You know, I had butt Bible study and
butt Bible study. Okay,
all the demons didn't escape me, I guess.
You put
there was some malt liquor in there too.
There we go. That's what I wanted.
How many ounces? How many ounces of malt liquor?
Were they divisible by 40? That's what we're trying to piece
approximately
together.
80 total.
There you go.
But yeah, I was when I got here, I was thinking I might have to throw up. I did one of the but when I did that. My body played a play-action pass on me. It came out the other end. Little squirt.
Decided at the line of scrimmage.
A shark.
Yeah, called an audible.
Okay.
Yeah. My own body tricked me. Not too much, but enough for it was a situation.
Well, sorry, I'm now literally visualizing the situation coming out of your with the jersey shore relaunch.
Just fist bumping.
Yeah, exactly. GTL. Did you, actually get matter in your pants. Like, to me, that's where the line is crossed, because you can feel a wetty coming out, to quote Peep Show. Was it a wetty? You can feel a wetty, but if you don't drop trow and see anything, then you haven't become like an infant again.
Right. The whole situation is...
Did you drop trow? Okay. And see anything or no?
A little stain.
Okay. All right. All right. So... I'm
replacing the baby. That was
you do have to evaluate your decisions in the context.
It's a relief. It's actually a blessing in disguise, because one, I thought I was gonna be throwing up in the parking lot. That would probably be worse. And then two,
is that worse than crapping yourself as an adult?
I far prefer puking in a parking lot.
As far as like, it's too early for that. There are people around. Like,
this is not 3 a.m. outside the club.
But I mean, yes, a full-on crap would not literally sit well.
Okay, all right. I just, now that you have mildly crapped your pants at noon on a Thursday because you drank too much while watching an Andre the Giant documentary the night before.
Hey.
Is there any reevaluation of your life that's going into this, or are you?
I mean, if we weren't doing this show like so early there in the morning.
That's true. We are rolling at 1:15 p.m. I'm sorry.
People are still asleep.
yeah, in Japan, dude. Like, what are you doing?
I woke up at 10 a.m. Oh, God.
That's true. That's true. You texted me and you said, I'm up at 10 a.m. I feel like a goddamn farmer, which cracked me up. But I'm glad you're here in one piece, man. And yeah. I'm sorry that waking up at 10 a.m. leads to vomiting and or crapping your pants.
We know that now. Ugh. We learned.
The show will be recorded every day at noon at this point.
Here's the messed up thing. I didn't drink at all this whole week, and then for some reason the night before this, I decided I was gonna break the streak.
Yeah, no, you're like a woman about to go to bed with me. You're trying to fortify yourself.
I saw A Quiet Place last night and I was feeling good, and had Andre the Giant recorded him. I had myself quite a night.
Quiet Place. You wanna do that right now? I wanna do that right now.
Get to it.
I'm all ready.
Right. Howard, you have not seen it.
I went ahead because you told me we were going to discuss it this week, and I read all the spoiler alerts online.
Spoilers.
So I'm okay with spoilers from this moment forward in the episode. I hope the people listening who haven't seen it are as well.
Yeah, anyone who's listening, we're going to talk Quiet Place right now. It's been out for 2 weeks. I feel if you give warning ahead of time, I'm not just some dude on the radio. You have downloaded this podcast on purpose. You didn't flip your channels here. So if I tell you there's going to be spoilers, there's spoilers. Just turn off the damn episode or just run it on mute so I get like the download credit. I don't know.
Yeah, we want those views, John.
Yeah, exactly. I still need my numbers intact. God forbid you bounce right now and validate Howard, who thinks you're all monkeys who can't handle more than 30 minutes at a pop. So, Quiet Place, I loved it. I saw it first weekend it was out, or like, no, the Monday after. It was after 1 p.m., so I'd already been able to move my bowels into my pants and vomit into the parking lot. We got that out of the way. Quiet Place is fantastic. I think the biggest news to me out of that movie is it was directed by one Jim Halpern from The Office, John Krasinski. And
no one cares about his real name.
He's just Jim. He's just goofy faced Jim with his big stupid nose.
Nah, he's a legit actor, guys. Come on. Like I I'm not an Office fan, but I will accept Jim Krasinski, right?
John Krasinski, yeah.
Yeah, I will accept him at his actual name for the stage because he has superseded and transcended that crappy show.
Crappy show, man. You realize that is a religion. Two millennials, right? Like, you pretty much just wiped your ass with a
Bible.
That's
like you just crapped in my pants.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much the worst thing Steve Carell's ever done.
Oh. I feel right now like this is me when I badmouth the Beatles to people who are really into the Beatles. Like, look, The Office was just a good show. There's not, like, there are some bad aspects. There are some weaker seasons. Will Ferrell on The Office, I thought, stank.
I thought outside of Steve Carell, there was a deep amount of mediocrity with Pam and John, what's his name?
Jim.
John Krasinski. I hate them because Jim the Halpert. Polacks look so white, but their names can get very complicated.
They were the worst, and the fact that they were up front and center. I assumed he was a bad actor until I saw him in other things.
It was an ensemble affair, sir. They were up front and center.
Why do you hate Love?
Yeah, exactly. That too.
Mostly just white people in Love. Okay. I think that's okay. The real problem. Except when she was in the Will Ferrell movie, like Blades of Glory.
Yes.
Epic.
And she hasn't done anything since then.
Her and Napoleon Dynamite are an item. It's great. It's so good.
I like that movie a lot. Yeah. Also like Semi-Pro. All the lesser celebrated Semi-Pro. Will Ferrell films, big fan.
Okay.
Semi-Pro's a good like 3 p.m. movie, like nothing else.
On your first 40. Right. just a little dollop of crap in your pants. It's good for that level of drunk. Okay, so
there are certain characters from The Office I'm okay with, like Dwight. What's his name? Dwayne?
Yes, Dwayne.
Those two I'm good with.
Who's Dwayne?
Yeah, who's Dwayne?
Who do you think is Dwayne in The Office? Say the black guy. Say the black guy, please.
I forget his like real name because I've been watching Ghosted, his new show with...
Craig Ferguson. Or not Craig Ferguson. Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson. I was like, that's racist. You're getting your Craigs confused.
I am a crisis. Yeah, right.
But now, like, his new show with...
His Craigs all sound alike to me.
With the dude from Parks and Rec.
Adam Scott.
I'm terrible with names. I'm just saying, like, those two dudes.
Well, all white and
You're
black people
dad.
Look alike to you. All non-Asians look alike to you. Like, you just hold your baby, and you're like, this is a baby.
So, yeah, man, outside of Dwight and Craig Robinson on The Office, that was it. Those are the only two where I'm like, those guys, this is great stuff. Whereas, like, even with Steve Carell, I'd be like, ah, come on, man, you have so much more range than, like, this one note. Like, Michael Scott is like, I was done after an hour.
You don't like him screaming, I declare bankruptcy? That isn't the height of humor to you? Okay. All right. How many episodes have you actually seen? And then I'll let you off the hook.
I've seen at least a half dozen throughout several different... I'm sorry. I've seen at least a dozen, not a half dozen. I've seen at least a dozen.
But how many have you read online?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. How many Wikipedia entries analyzing everything? How many DVD extras have you consumed? Have you seen Stanley talk about watching hentai? Stanley talk about watching
hentai. Maybe we need to go back to, like, office jobs. You've had one, right? How long has it been?
Oh, 10 years.
Yeah.
But I had it for 2.5 years.
It makes me flaccid to see that there is a sitcom about a life that I dread. I think that's the part that I resent the most about that show.
It's relatable.
Okay, so you're saying if you were Jewish, you wouldn't watch Hogan's Heroes. You'd be like, this hits too close to home. I don't want concentration camp humor.
I think if I had lived in a concentration camp, probably not. I think that's more where I'm going with it. I think if you've been in that environment before, it's like, oh, really? I can't watch this. Like with Law and Order, I'm just like...
If you were a rapist, you wouldn't like Law and Order, SVU. That's kind of what you're saying. You're like, been there, done that.
See, it's more the courtroom drama. It's the irony of like when people go to law school... Part of why they went in our generation was I used to like Law and Order, so that's why I applied. And then, like, once you get through law school, you just cannot watch it anymore.
Well, the instant you walk in the courtroom and you don't hear dun-dun, you're like, what? Oh, I have...
Wait, we don't all become DAs?
I have gravely miscalculated my life, yeah.
There's just, like, certain topics on TV where it makes me flaccid, where I'm like, you got to be kidding me. People watch this for entertainment. This is life. I want to escape life. You're not helping me on that front.
So you put on Queer as Folk, and you're like, this is nothing. Who hasn't banged a blonde twink or two? This is yawn.
It's all the L word at my home.
I have never seen... I don't want to sound...
The L word was my sexual awakening in middle school. That was my porn.
Really? The L word. I remember, and I kind of like that slightly spiky and vicious look to a bisexual woman, if you will. Like, I dig that, but L Word I never watched because Jackie Brown had gotten fat by that point, right? Like Pam Grier had really beefed up. Like she probably was like 80 pounds of tit meat, don't get me wrong, but she had kind of asploded, right?
I was just making a joke. I've never actually seen it, though. I recently got Showtime for free, and it is available on demand, so it's one of the few products that they have that's worth watching still.
Watch the L Word.
Yes, L Word. No money from L Word to us. It's about 15 years
old. We mentioned it enough.
Yeah.
Showtime has not done very much since to attract viewers.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray Donovan, Shameless, Homeland. I can keep going. No, I can't. But those three are good. I like those three. Yeah. All right. So you've seen The Office 10 times. and our
throughout several seasons, and I'm like, I still don't get it.
Okay.
I still don't get it. I haven't reached 20 episodes, but I'm over 10.
Yeah, just I know you have, you're like, you want to keep your career going and you have a child at home, but just watch like 8 or 9 seasons in a row. Like, you'll get it.
Just neglect your family and then...
Yeah. I will say, like, this is going to piss you off. I deeply enjoy watching Parks and Rec.
What's going to piss me off there? It's pretty much just The Office with a different cast.
Yeah, I think it's mostly the cast, the concept of the characters as well as the people acting in it far less objectionable.
You like your sassy blacks as women,
that's fair, actually.
Men.
That's fair.
He has a crush
actor
on the
actor.
Is her name Retta?
Who?
Retta, the large, the African-American woman of larger characters.
Is it Retta?
Yeah. I think it's Retta.
Yeah, I haven't seen her new
that
show,
sounds
but
like
she's
almost great.
She's good. She wasn't featured initially, along with the guy, Larry, Gary,
the cable guy.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
Like
Jerry, Larry, Gary.
Oh yeah, Gergich.
Yeah, Gergich. Those two characters were not even featured actors on the first few seasons.
I'll go back.
They were added to the official cast after I think Rashida Jones left.
Who would win in a Quiet Place world, Office cast or Parks and Rec cast?
Well, I'm going.
It would last longer.
I'm going to the Office cast because there's a certain boisterous element to the Quiet
Parks and Rec
cast.
Though they work better as a team. I feel like Dwight would.
Yeah, but you've got like three screaming tards to put it politically correctly.
Dwight would try to fight the monsters, so he would like purposely scream.
Oh, Recyclops would be dead so quickly. Yes. Yeah. Let's do our Quiet Place review, and then we can discuss this Hunger Games, this Quiet Games, if you will, involving the two film casts. First of all, completely outside of the film, I'm really happy John Krasinski got this under his belt because I was fearing for that marriage.
Oh, interesting.
I'm sorry. Like,
I just found out that he's married to Emily Blunt as this movie came out, so I was wondering how they ended up in the same movie together.
He is married to Emily Blunt, and I feel punched well above his weight in terms of success. Yes. Like, every girl can be like, I find Jim from The Office so hot. That's my girl voice, by the way. Looking like a blowjob. Every girl loves him, but like in terms of Hollywood star power, let's be honest, like he could have been a David Schwimmer case. Like, a dude not doing much was the star of a big NBC show a decade plus ago. And she's a legit, like, A-lister.
Yeah, but I think, doesn't that arguably work better? Doesn't that work better where, I mean, for a guy who is A-list, I think they tend to, like Brad Pitt, have trouble just, like, being in a marriage long-term anyway. So, maybe she did the smart thing and, like, went for someone who's, like, cool, yeah, I'll hold your bag at the Oscars. That's fine.
Oh.
Heading into this, I mean, now he's about to go A-list, possibly, but...
Oh, he's firmly in that. Now, because of this movie, because he directed and directed really well, directed exceptionally. I'm sorry, I will suck his directorial dick on this one. I thought
I'll suck his actual dick.
Good metaphors are for the gays. Just smooch that bone real good, Travis.
Get to the point.
Yeah, while you BM yourself, just action at both
just
ends.
Just blowjobs and crap in my cargo shorts.
Yeah, teacups.
That's what
over
I'm
here.
All about.
Yeah, man, I personally don't, maybe I'm a little cold and calculated here, and maybe you're right. Maybe you're like, screw it, she wants the stay-at-home kind of hubby type thing.
Well, now this is kind of like the in-between, because it's not like, hey, person who's not famous at all, it's like, hey, dude who gets it. Hey, I married a TV actor, not like a film actor. Oh, but see, the thing is, now she turned him into a film actor, so we'll see what happens with them.
Or at least a director. Like, maybe, because his acting was good in it. I won't say his acting was, like, over-the-top exceptional, but hers wasn't anything. I'm not saying it was bad. It's just not a film that allows people to knock it out of the park.
She actually, I wasn't a big fan of Emily Blunt before this, but she turned me around.
Really? Like, the homely, pregnant, sorry, spoiler, mild spoiler, the homely, pregnant Emily Blunt is where you turned a page.
I'm sorry, but I have to give them credit because you're talking about their acting performances. How many actual spoken lines do they have in the film?
They probably have fewer than Arnold in Terminator 1.
How many A or B list actors? I'm going to put him B list heading into this. But how many A or B list actors would be willing to have a script where they have almost no lines for the entire film?
You don't have to memorize. Less to memorize.
Yeah.
This is almost like something often reserved for no names. I think selling this to Hollywood actors, while I know they started with a...
I get what you're saying. The conceit of this is pretty much Human Centipede. Like, you're not going to get Marlon Brando to eat an ass or something.
I mean, so they started with... what is it? John Krasinski?
Yes, John.
All right. I'm trying to work it out.
There might be a second J in there. Krasinski or Krasinski? I can't do it.
Working on it.
I realize my last name is literally all five vowels in a row, so I have no place to talk, but those Polish names, man, they get me.
But at any rate, yeah, he was one of the first actors I thought that they approached for this role, and I don't think they knew how it was going to fare as far as when they started asking people if they wanted to be in it. Who'd be excited for a role that didn't have a lot of spoken lines?
I'm with Travis. I'd be excited as a pig in ass. I'd be like, wait, there's like one day I have to memorize lines and that's it.
Although, do you have to learn sign language? Or was that all bullcrap?
No, I know that the deaf girl in the movie is like legit deaf. They deafened her for the film.
My understanding is there's basically...
they removed her eardrum.
Yeah. There's only four actors in the movie, right? It's the two kids and the two parents, basically?
Well, there's a third kid at the beginning.
Spoiler.
And then there's only two kids.
About that.
Yeah.
But my understanding is, like, yeah, once you throw away the black kid that they adopted at the very beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. like, you get into...
You're forgetting about the sickly old man who screams after his...
And again, don't forget the gorilla that literally talks out loud. Not Coco sign language, just the existential
They never even
gorilla.
Reference it.
Yeah. Just lives in the woods and occasionally screams race hate. It's really a complicated character.
But now, like, the what I read about this movie heading into today's episode was that...
We want those kids.
They didn't do traditional casting at all because after they had Krasinski and Blunt signed in and they were looking for the kids, they knew they wanted to go for this deaf girl because she had another film role before this. And once they brought her on, she was able to teach the rest of the cast sign language. And so that was part of how they worked in some of the signing, was relying on her.
Right. Huh.
So that's like three of the four characters that you actually see.
I love Travis's reaction to my stunt. Huh.
So there's like 2 seconds of complete silence.
There's your quiet place right there in the middle of a goddamn broadcast. That's professional.
It's okay. This is that episode. We could have dead air.
Yeah.
We're talking about a quiet place.
That's true. It all ties
It's all on purpose.
I want to say a lot of what he does, not that I know dick about directing, but I've read a couple screenwriting books. In theory, one of these days I'll do a screenplay instead of playing, Link to the Past 6-8 hours a day. But not today, because that was how I started my day. No diarrhea, but I got that fourth Triforce shard, so, suck my D-world. A big thing that is enforced in screenwriting is show, don't tell. Howard, you said initially... when they released or were thinking about putting out A Quiet Place, the original screenplay calls for just horrific pace-destroying flashbacks where it's like, see the monsters that conquer the world. By the way, it's not some weird slasher. The world is invaded by some sort of alien life force that hunts based on sound.
You don't really need to know that much backstory about how it happened, at least for me. Like,
you don't.
I accept this world that's been given to me.
Exactly. You said initially that the first script, the first draft, called for like flashbacks that explain all this in boring ass detail.
Yeah, Krasinski actually also gets a co-writing credit as well. So if there's an award for screenplay, which would be hilarious, because apparently the screenplay is 3 pages of dialogue and then 67 pages of
dick pics.
Yeah, it's just maps and descriptions. It's so bizarre. It's one of the strangest screenplays that could be nominated for an Oscar.
I was thinking of that. When I was watching it, I'm like, this was a really easy screenplay. And then I'm like, no, it's not. You still have to, like, interior, you know, like the basement.
There's a story.
Character does this. Character does that. Their eyes indicate this. You have to lay it all out. You're not typing literal dialogue.
It's difficult because what I've heard is when you pitch a script to anyone, the first thing that will get your script rejected is if you give too many directorial cues. Because that's not your job as a screenwriter. So... this script had to somehow be a script without telling the director what to do. And that's why...
You're completely right. Like, you cannot have, like, camera pans down onto... No. screw you. That is the director's job. Like, yeah, exactly how you said. You just need to be like, four characters in a room. They're doing this.
Yeah. And that's why when Krasinski was pitched on acting in it, he came back with the counter of two things. One, I want to direct this. And two, you're going to let me basically direct this because I'm going to tell you right now, get rid of all the flashback scenes. Like, this is the feel I think this movie should have. And the second the studio heard that, they were like, maybe this guy could do this.
In that exact voice.
That's how those. That's how the bigwigs talk.
Do you know this... Jim from The Office? Maybe.
You're going to be a star.
God. I'm going to sign with this tone so the deaf girl gets it. I loved it. The movie starts the family of... At the beginning, five, bum, bum, bum. So yeah. The family of five are raiding like a CVS. They walk out. You see newspaper. One just has a headline. New York Post says, it's sound, explaining how these monsters hunt. Next to them, another paper has, meteorite lands in Mexico. You're like, well, these things are connected. Like, it's so well done. You're like,
by the
they
way,
landed.
Kudos to these new newspaper publications that were still running these... Working yeah. during the apocalypse.
Yeah, still publishing even though it's like on a typewriter. Tap, tap, tap. Monster kills. You know, like it really keyboards just verboten. So,
so what's the sound like level that it has to reach in order for them to? I guess that starts with the first kid.
Oh, they are shown walking around like goddamn Frodo. Like they are putting sand down around their house to dampen their walking sounds. They're shoeless.
Uh-huh.
So they're it's you're made to believe. At one point, a raccoon is just doing raccoon stuff, going, and that's it. Your raccoon gets dusted.
Wow.
Like, oh, they killed a raccoon. That's real. The internet loves trash pandas. You know,
yeah.
Like, that moved me. So the other thing that's done really well, they set up tension. Krasinski sets up tension. And I think he does two things that Hitchcock was big on with directing. He's like, you know what tension is? Like when we know there's a bomb in the room. And no one else knows what's going to happen. And the entire time, we're like, holy crap, look at these idiots having their dinner party, and they're all going to die, and they don't know it. Oh, my God, you're sweating bullets. They don't know what's up. Like, the beginning of the film, there's a kid given a he takes their third kid, the one who gets killed. Big spoiler. Well, it's like in the first
stupid kid.
The stupid kid, yeah.
He's such a...
Darwin's baby.
I feel bad that they lost him, but I don't feel bad for him for dying.
Cause... Is it because he's black? You're so racist.
Yeah. He was really loud. Like, he finally sees one of the monsters, and he goes, oh, my God! Like, really? And that was it. His fate was sealed. The kid gets a toy...
Spaceship.
Space shuttle, yeah. Space. Like I said, spaceship, like it's an X-Wing. Like it's a fictional craft. No, it's a space shuttle. People have used the shuttle, Travis. So they have a space shuttle that you press a button and it goes like pew, pew,
yeah,
pew.
It has batteries in it.
Yeah, and sets off like all sorts of monsters.
John Krasinski, he like, when he first has the toy, he takes the batteries out. But then the stupid kid, as they're leaving, he picks the batteries back up.
So the deaf girl feels bad for her baby brother. That he's been had this toy plucked from
him.
Yeah,
and she gave it back to him. That's why.
So she
it's
gives
her
it
fault.
Back to him, but very deliberately, we've seen these batteries just placed on the counter. He didn't hurl them anywhere because that would make noise too. But the batteries are just chilling there. The kid gets the shuttle in hand. You're like, son of a bitch, I know what's coming next. He grabs the batteries. At that point, the entire film is just tension until he fires this thing off, which is like 2 minutes later. He does it. He gets killed.
Wow. Yeah, because they actually do have, that was one of the great commercials I've seen, because I heard Kubrick was always big on the commercials leading up to a film, and I think Krasinski probably has heard this as well, in just studying how to be a director, that you do want to have things that get people hooked when they see the commercial, and they actually show the moments leading up to that kid getting grabbed, and it makes you want to go see the film, because in your mind you're like, does that kid get grabbed? Because, like, just seeing him running across the bridge trying to go get this kid.
Okay, I had that commercial, yeah.
And then that commercial just ends, and they just show A Quiet Place. And the first time I saw that commercial, I'm like, it's not that I want to see this movie. It's that I have to see this movie. I think it's such a genius commercial because I'm like, you have a kid who's about to get grabbed, and I don't know what happens.
Your second thought was, The Office, not that good. Overrated.
That's actually also a commercial for Energizer batteries. Exactly. They're to die for.
Yeah. Outlast the apocalypse, unless you're stupid. So the kid gets plucked off. Hitchcock was also big on, like, and I don't know if this is even outside of Hitchcock. Maybe it's just an old adage. But, like, if you show a gun, we better see that gun fired. Like, that gun, you can't just be like, here's my piece, and that's the end of said gun. Guns are shown in a film to get shot.
Interesting. Okay.
We need that tension. If a character
sounds
has a
like
gun,
this is a pro-gun movie.
Yeah, it is. Completely. As is this show. So, they, at one point, we move into the future. And again, this is almost set up like Goodfellas style, where it's just like day 89. And we see what happened with dumb S, the space shuttle operator. Then it's just like day 468. You know, it's pretty much 1 year in the future. Emily Blunt's walking around.
Pregnant.
Yeah, pulls down something she had in front of her. We just see she's got a big old gas tank on her. Immediately, the whole film...
Because nothing makes you hornier than impending death.
Exactly. Just completely silent sex. Like, honey, does this feel good? None of that. Like, your wife can be giving you a blowjob for the ages, but no gagging sounds. No, wah, wah, wah. No, you can't do anything. You have to bust the nut of your life just looking her dead in the eye, like... sucking it, you know what I mean? That's
how do you give birth in this like environment?
Thank you. Again,
that's a good question.
We have set up an incredible amount of tension. She's literally got a time bomb ticking in
yeah.
her. This baby's going to cry. It hurts like a bitch to deliver a kid.
They planned this all out.
They've done their due diligence, and they come up with solutions to that. But it's an incredible source of tension. As soon as you see that at the beginning of the movie, you're like, oh my god! Like this is what fills your head. It's so well done, this film.
Yeah.
Like, another point, she's walking up the stairs. She gets her, like, her peasant skirt, whatever the hell you're, you know, crap yeah. you're wearing, whatever schmata you're wearing after the apocalypse, keeps tugging, eventually tugs up a nail on these
yeah,
wooden
so
stairs.
Like a nail sticking
that's
up.
Straight up, yeah. Like,
that,
Jim's
I was going to ask you a question. All right, so she steps on the nail.
Yeah.
And then, right after, delivers the baby. Mm-hmm. Is that baby born with tetanus?
It is.
I don't know a lot about the reproductive
system. That's why the baby
system.
Came out black, like Howard mentioned. So we are now just like, oh, son of a bitch, that nail's going in someone's foot. And this yeah. is a quiet world. How the hell do they get around this? There's just multiple tension points that he expertly sets up like that throughout the movie. And it's effortlessly done on his part, but it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. The comedy part of my brain was waiting for her to step on it a second time, and I was just gonna lose it. That's a running gag throughout the movie. She just keeps...
The kid's getting hepatitis now.
All right,
Mom, we need to pound in the nail. F.
All right, so can I just skip to the ultimate spoiler?
Sure. Okay, everyone. These are mild spoilers to this point. Now it's big time.
I promise you I'll see this regardless of what you say, but I just want to ask, like, what the hell happens at the end? Like, what's the whole point of this damn movie? Like,
okay, so to not go into too much detail.
No, we've said everything.
They figure out how to kill the monster.
There's only one?
There's three.
There's three in their immediate area.
That's another thing when they're just like showing but not telling.
Another way we show don't tell. Travis, take it.
English 101. He's got like a board. It's like weaknesses ? And then a known number and or confirmed number in my area and then equals 3.
Because they're global, right?
Yeah. It's a war. My friend I didn't see it, but my friend said something about he saw like 25% of the world's population was killed by these things or something.
Was dead? Oh God, I would have pegged it.
It would be more, but yeah. I don't know. My friends are dumb, so I don't know.
Yeah, your friends are dumb.
Yeah.
Sorry, friend. You're stupid.
I guess that's what I was trying to figure out.
I missed that, if that's confirmed.
From the premise. So it's not that these are like the last humans. This is
no,
an ongoing.
More.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of people, that's all you ever see is that family.
Right.
Like, there's no one.
But they do show, like, I guess every night, Jim lights a fire, and then you see, like, other fires, like, because I guess...
Okay,
like...
explain this to me. I thought, when I was watching it, like you said, they climb, like, a water tower, almost, and light up a fire on top of it, and then other fires go up, and I thought that was indicative of other families signaling to him, but is that...
Is that not? That's what
I thought.
I didn't
think so, because then they never interact with these other families, but maybe they're just that...
Well, maybe
off.
They just want to know that they're all there, but they don't want to... come together because I feel
it's
like
it's just a risk and you would
the more people together it makes it more dangerous.
Yeah.
That's my rationale behind it.
Okay.
But then, do you remember after they lit the fireworks off, the kids tried to light the fires and no one else was lighting theirs?
Yes.
Did the fireworks screw everyone else?
Yeah.
I
don't know. That was literally the one part of the film that confused me.
I gotta see this movie again.
Then I thought, like, are the fires just beacons that they're lighting to other family members who are on different towers or some crap?
I'm getting the impression, just from what you guys are describing, is like time progresses forward and they flash forward, that by the time you get towards the end and they're trying to like signal to other people, all those people are dead.
That kind of has to be the case from what Travis is.
Well, they don't fast forward that much. It's like it starts off day 89 and then it goes to like day 4 whatever.
Yeah.
I think
but
it's
then
really
no
hard,
more flash forward.
But that's the whole point. It's hard to be quiet. It's like one of the themes of this movie. It's just, could you imagine how long could you really go?
Yeah.
And like considering the demographics of what you're describing from like the beginning to the end, it sounds like a lot of people had problems making that happen.
Let's just say I don't think many people are alive in the hood. Especially in the movie.
I was gonna say I think I would pay like 5 times ticket price to watch this movie in like a Harlem theater or just like a theater with those type of people and just
movie fans, office yes. fans, yeah.
Because with the theater I was in, it was a lot of polite white people, and so I got the full quiet effect. But I would like. Oh hell no!
I mean,
get out!
If you can see a
run, bitch!
Film with a black audience, it's the best thing that'll ever happen in your life. As long as it's not your first viewing, or you just don't care. I will go to my grave saying the viewing of The Mist I saw with a black audience, like all time top 5 movie experience ever. Like it lived up to anything. Like if you did that as a sketch, people would be like, this is grossly offensive.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
I lived it. What can I say? And it was fan goddamn tastic.
I'll say one last thing. Watch this movie in theaters. I don't like when people like say like, oh, you have to watch this movie in theaters.
No, but it was
no,
fantastic.
I can wait until it's on DVD, but I think it would be a lot better.
Well, there are so many starts and stuff, like so many sources of being startled that come from hopefully being in a quiet theater.
Yeah.
Where they play on that with you too, where
right.
not just on the screen is it supposed to be quiet, but in your theater it's quiet, and then you might hear like ba-bang or something like yeah. that, and it's there to startle
you.
Repeatedly.
In my theater, someone's alarm went off on their phone. That's the only time I think I've ever in a theater been legitimately mad at someone's phone. Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say it's the only time you crapped your pants, and I'm like, well, that's a goddamn lie. So
I thought you were hoping that the monster would come out of 3D and take that person out of the theater.
That would have been tight.
Oh, God. How great would that be? Just letting them loose in the theater.
It would make it feel more authentic if every time someone made a noise, like an usher would just shoot the person in the head.
Yeah, just a sniper's nest from the projector's booth.
But what's the end game? So, like, is there a payoff at the end? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
you have this tension throughout, and then what's the payoff at the end?
Well,
is it they're all
figure
dead?
Out how the they figure out how to kill the monsters. They kill one, and then they like tease that they're like about to.
Yeah, through that method, they then learn to dust the others. Which
the last shot is Emily Blunt like. Cocking a shotgun and you're like, oh, it's
on
there,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't.
So it's the beginning of the fight, at least for this family, if other families throughout the world.
Yeah, they're
going to
kill the
out,
two
yeah.
really quick.
Yes. Like,
because the solution is like, I guess, high frequency volumes.
Yeah, these monsters have like just huge. They really look like the xenomorph from Aliens, but they make legit predator sound. Okay. Predators like gurgly, clicky
sound.
Don't
they kind of look like the monster in Stranger Things a little bit?
A little bit, but that's just a ripoff of Aliens.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. So it's the same shebang. Like, it's all James Cameron knockoff. So they have giant, like, cow vagina-sized ears on the side of their head, pretty much. Like, that opens up and reveals, like, under the plating. This is how they hear
it. It was
anything.
Weird when the dad put his dick in one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Four stars.
Yeah, you know, at 9 months, he'd been frozen out by Emily Blunt. He's just like, whatever. I'll come quiet, you know. We see that, and like Travis said, they're able to then generate a high-frequency sound with a big enough noise that the monsters are just like, this is horrible, I'm pooping my pants. Bathroom! And then while their guard
is down.
It's
the brown noise, yeah.
While their guard is down, you can shotgun them in the head. So that's it.
Yeah.
Much like Travis should have been shotgunned in the head while moving his bounds. So, all that said, and it truly is a great movie, it's, I mean, it creates a world you live in, and I love that world,
uh-huh.
and you wholeheartedly accept it. But when you look back, you're just like, everyone would have been dead so quickly. No one would have lived. The amount of silence that is presumed is asinine. I wrote down a list of the things that would make noises that would attract these monsters to the point you're dead. Number one on the list, we are supposed to believe that no one snores in their sleep.
That's what, yeah, I was thinking.
Snoring would be more than enough, given what they've shown, the level that attracts these monsters, to get you killed.
Yeah.
We're also supposed to believe that, again, the little kid, their like four-year-old brother, gets dusted in front of the entire family. We're supposed to believe not at one point in the year since a family member isn't just screaming like, Michael! You know, in the middle of the night, like, just completely shook, and then the monsters come and kill them. I can keep going on with the sleep stuff.
Also,
farting in your sleep.
Krasinski's hair looked too good in this world. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but
it was
like styled. It's like
you're
styling your hair in this world.
Oh, so you came to terms with your sexuality in the course of this movie.
No, yeah, I already said I want to suck his dick.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like,
I'm completely with you. They had to strike a balance of like. Make them look ratty, but not too ratty. You know what I mean? Like, they can't look like Waterworld ratty. Like, we still want to have, you know, we still want the girls to bang Jim. We still want the men to think Emily Blunt is hot. I mean, they couldn't.
No, like, I get why they do it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, while we're nitpicking.
No, you're completely right. I mean, I think Emily Blunt at one point you can see has, like, kept up with the grooming. They show her labia. No, I think you see her tits or something like that. And you're like, oh, they still shave here. That's good. Thank God. My ex couldn't do that in a non-monster-ridden world, but she can do it here. Cool. We're all good. I'm not angry. Let's move on. I'm trying to see what the hell else. The thought again of these people, because she's pregnant, and it's not like Jesus-style immaculate conception. So the thought of these guys screwing in complete silence, like, can't even go that fast, so you're not getting the sound of balls hitting whatever. Like, there's just silent bang. Like, I guess she can't even get too wet.
See, no, I'm gonna say it's all right, because in that
I
situation,
I bang next to a baby all the time, and I keep quiet.
In that situation. Wouldn't you convince yourself that even crappy sex is better than no sex?
Yeah, this is my reality, of course.
Yeah, I think you would learn to do that.
Guys go to prison and draw like a lipstick mouth on an asshole.
Yeah.
And call that their girlfriend. I mean, what do you... Yes, I would convince myself, but it's still hilarious to think about. Like, you can just never get into the moment. You can never just be like, when you finish.
Yeah. It was weird that they did it right after their kid died. I don't know.
That too! I was thinking the same thing. Like, that little bastard wasn't even cold in the ground. Maybe they're like, finally, someone won't walk in when the door is shut. Like, we can get right back.
Yeah, I don't know why this is my turn on, but...
I don't get why there was no pulling out in this world. Like, really? Are they afraid, like, the jizz landing on the floor would be enough of a sound to get him busted? I mean, why would you bring life into this world? Can you imagine, like, when she just hasn't had her period in 2 months, and you're like, oh my god, this is like...
I love their solution. Actually, they were gonna raise the baby in a dark box.
They made a soundproof box, like a...
They gave it, like, an oxygen tank?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, even if that baby survives in that environment, it's gonna grow up to be a sociopath.
Oh yeah, it's gonna have, like, cavefish eyes. It's gonna be a mutant.
But now I was going to tell you, like, your real-life horror story came true for one of my friends.
What happened?
Speaking of pulling out, him and his... Fortunately, he's married, and he already has a kid, but him and his wife went out for...
I'm already feeling like Travis did this morning, hearing this.
Yeah. So they go out. They finally get a babysitter for a night when his wife's parents are in town, and they have a night to themselves.
Okay.
And, yeah, they finally get to have sex after months of dealing with a small child. And he pulled out,
uh-huh.
And he just tells me afterward, like, yeah, that really doesn't work.
It doesn't.
And so, you know, they're in a situation where they're married, they have a kid, and they're just like, crap, we're tired, we forgot condoms. And it's just like, well, let's just try this, because, I mean, what's the worst we'll have? We have another kid? We've already kind of got that on. And then they're just like, oh, this is too soon.
Then the reality
starts. Brian Bolte has made that abundantly clear.
But... Yeah.
He did that too?
Yes, he...
Yeah.
Well, he jokes about it. He also jokes about eating butthole. I can't tell reality from the truth.
I don't even know if he's a real person at this
point.
Have you smelled his breath? He eats butthole.
Just coffee and ass. I mean, my one oopsie was on the back of that, but I was on a pill that caused me to leak like a goddamn New York pipe. Like,
wow.
But yeah. Oh,
we're
no.
Back to this.
I did not go full bore. I was just a dribbling and pulled out. And yeah.
Oh, so, wait. Yeah. I thought we were talking about pooping again.
No. A Quiet Place was not my bedroom when I learned I had knocked up a woman at age 23.
So I guess in the movie, though, they couldn't have that conversation about regretting not picking up another pack when they were at CVS.
Yeah.
That's the... It's like, oh, how do we forget condoms?
I mean, it had to be the same situation where they're just like, you know what really has me horny? That dead baby of ours. And then she's like, but you didn't get the Trojans. Like, I don't care. I'm so rock hard thinking about our dead child and his space shuttle toy. And then they just, yeah, he broke some off for her.
So they have sex like within minutes of you seeing the kid get.
Yeah, cheated. Literally he's banged on the bridge and we cut to black and then we just cut right back to that scene for a second and they're just doggy styling on top of this corpse. And then we cut to black again. They're like day 452 or whatever. Yeah. It's intense. Grief, man. We all grieve in weird ways, right? Sometimes you just gotta...
I would have liked to see their reaction finding out that they're pregnant. Like, do you think they were, like, really pissed off, but they couldn't yell, like...
Yeah. Oh, completely, yeah. Like, you think you're upset getting someone pregnant when you're making, you know, like, 50, 60 grand a year. Like, imagine this guy who's like, it's the end of the world. But no, you can't help it. His fetish was dead toddlers.
Right.
Like, on the bridge scene, if you look in the commercial... He's sporting a diamond in his pants. Like, it's just about to burst through his pants. Like, that's how hard he is watching this go down. So, yeah, and it was writing on the wall for Emily Blunt. Like, she saw that toddler get killed. She's like, oh, my V is going to take a beating.
Also, how did Jim initiate the idea of sex without talking? Did he just give the jerk-off motion? Like, shrug?
Yeah, just tuggy, tug, what? Tug. No, he did the little the BJ pantomime. By the way, there is now some sort of, hold on, let me see if I can close that. Someone managed to get pop-ups and malware onto this computer, so that's nice.
Oh, wonderful.
That's nice. We're still rolling. It's good, but...
Hooray.
Yeah, hooray. So, it's a great film, A Quiet Place. Like, best time I've had in a theater for a while.
Ah, cool. Very cool.
Recommend it wholeheartedly. I think we got like 45 minutes on or some crap like that. Yeah, we can keep talking. We've got a ton of...
See, this is what I'm saying. What if we cut it right now, and then you could do, like, another bit? So then you have a second episode to upload.
That's true, but the bit would be, like, 10 minutes.
Okay.
Let's talk about this for another 15 minutes.
Okay, you know what? You want to end the show, and then we come back?
Yeah, because then we could take a break for a minute, and then we got some stuff we can talk about with, I guess Travis had a story that he was trying to tell last week that we didn't get to.
Yeah. All right. You know what?
You know what I mean?
We can break him off a little bit, just like John did with Emily. We'll come back. We'll just do another 15 minutes.
I'll put it this way, too. Since you did a spoiler alert and we're telling people to turn away,
yeah.
Anybody who wants to come back can't come back right now.
That's true.
Did you want to play the office game or no?
Oh, we can do office game, too. God damn, I want to do office game now. Can we do Office Game now? Can we just poo-poo
please?
Your
let's
idea?
Just do Office Game because I hate that show and let's just like tail end it.
So we're yeah, and just call it.
He
day.
Wants to imagine a world where all the characters die.
So I'm sorry, John Krasinski, one of those guys forever married to a TV role they've been in, and I feel that is probably far more the case with TV actors when you've seen them over the course of years and years than it is ever the case. For movie actors. Like, I don't look at Schwarzenegger, I'm just like, that's the Terminator. Like, he's also Dutch from Predator, and, you know, kind of that dude from Jingle All the Way. Everyone's favorite holiday masterpiece. Miracle on 34th Street can eat my ass. But movie actors, they're stuck there. Like, you can't see Kramer and not think Seinfeld and dropping N-bombs on the stage.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I would disagree with you about Krasinski as far as... His character was just so bland on The Office that...
I'll say this. As much as I love The Office, I think he and Jenna Fisher, and it could have just been the writing. I don't want to impugn these guys. I think... I don't know if it was the acting or the writing, but they were like they're boring as hell, and I didn't think he was particularly strong as an actor.
But they were written to be bland, is what I'm learning over time as I see them in other roles. It was the characters
they were
playing.
You don't like the pranks?
Well, there were times, yeah, the pranks. Have you ever put your wife's diaphragm in Jell-O? I'm just saying. Just looked at the camera with a little bemusement on your face.
I'm just saying, Sam Malone will always be Sam Malone.
Yes.
Can't even think of his damn name now.
Ted Danson.
Ted Danson has basically played the same character in everything he's done.
He plays Ted Danson legit in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, it's a very different feel.
Well, there you go. That's something, I guess. Yeah. But it's just the idea that he had trouble escaping that role.
Yes, in movies and in TV for a very long time afterward completely. I think that's part of why he let himself go Silver Fox Gray, because that helped distinguish from Sam Malone. Like, but I'm with you completely.
I'm going to say that Krasinski has a chance to step back and, like, move away from The Office. I know it was, like, a mega popular show.
With a beard. I guarantee you'll never see him act without a beard at this point. That is how he says, right. Like, I'm not Jim. Either that or an eye patch. Just take your pick. He's married to it, even though there's enough time. He has the beard now.
That's fair.
But that's Jim to so many people. Because Travis... Millennials, as much as I enjoy The Office, like, it's religion to you guys. Like, our beloved DC comic friend Patrick Jensen, I think one time, was bitching about how literally every girl on Tinder just has, like, Office quotes as her profile, and he was belittling of that.
Pam,
and,
looking for my gym. Or,
like, yeah, yeah, anything to that effect, or just legit quotes, Michael Scott quotes, like, you know, which to me, it's a little more tongue-in-cheek, I guess, because I was older for it. I can see being that age and feeling smothered by it, where you're just like, this is normalcy, thus I hate it. I remember being at that age, whereas to me, same way I can listen to, like, Hank Williams, and I'm like, that's great. How can you not love Hank Williams? But someone who grew up in the South and hates it and, like, came up here, like, I know people who are like, never play country music for me again. Like, Southerners are like... The day I said goodbye to Mississippi, I said goodbye to all that crap.
Yeah.
I can tongue-in-cheek enjoy it, you know, and be like, this is good. I see the appeal. But if you're swimming in it, you might be like, the hell with it. We were just thinking real fast, Travis and I, how funny it would be to put other Office characters in the world of A Quiet Place or in the role of Jim as the dad. And who would last the longest and who would die first? And we didn't prep this because why would we do that? But let's lob a few back and forth. T-Dog, T-Sizzle, T-Cup.
I think Dwight would die pretty quickly.
You're picking Dwight.
To die quickly.
Die quickly. I'm with you.
He's a grunter.
Oh, yeah. Dwight does grunt.
I think he would try to fight them on purpose. Like, he would purposely make noise.
Yeah, like, Jim is signing, like, Dwight, don't do this. You will die. And he's just like, false. Signing that back. False. And then he goes into battle in his Recyclops armor, and he does die. I'm with you completely. Like, he would try to set up traps or something. He'd be like, Jim, there's three ways to trap a bear. And then, like, you know, Predator style, it would slash its way right through the net, and then Dwight would be dead. And, that'd be the end of the beet farm. You know who would live forever? Here's my slam dunk winner, Mose. Mose is a silent, weird, mute cousin of Dwight's.
That's a good one.
Mose would be there at age 80. Just wearing
I feel like Creed would somehow befriend the monsters.
I think Creed would rat out.
Become one of them.
He would rat out other humans. like the same way he got that guy fired in the Halloween episode. He was dressed as a hobo. He's like, no, Michael, you could take this back.
The monsters would smell Creed and be like, nah.
Yeah, the stink of mung bean on him.
Yeah.
Stanley would do well. Stanley Hudson.
You want to make noise, but I feel like he would be too lazy to like fish and...
Yeah.
Do all the other parts to survive.
Like the instant he runs out of the one vending machine he's found, he's like, time to meet my maker.
Kevin would do poorly because that one episode where there's an episode where the Office characters all try to be silent as long as possible.
Yeah.
And then he's the one who.
Yeah, I think what he sees a candy bar and goes.
No, he literally just bites and he's like, oh, yes.
Yeah. While eating a Snickers. So, yeah. Kevin would assuredly die very quickly. Oscar Nunez.
He would correct people too much.
That's true.
Like, no, that's not. They're not monsters. They're aliens.
They would. Actually, Michael. Yeah, no, you're completely right. Oh, God. Who else in this?
What about Meredith?
Oh, Meredith would get drunk and just fall.
Yeah, if she couldn't find booze, she would just purposely die.
Yeah, she would go into the delirium tremens once she dried out, and that would be that.
So going back to one of your complaints about the premise being unrealistic, like one of the things that I think of where I'm like, oh, that would be a hilarious way for someone to have died, but just like a horrendous fart. Like I feel like some of the characters...
Completely, that's what crossed my mind. I'm like, this is a world without farting.
I don't know.
You can't burp. Like, what?
I don't know if they really still make parody movies, but this would be a very good parody.
Yeah, some sort of National Lampoon's A Not So Quiet
Or
place.
Like not a teen movie, like those type of things.
But then it's just a series of sketches where comedians are plotting out the way they die because of the creatures.
Why don't we film that? Like, legit, I know we film nothing and all of our good ideas
I'll
go to
waste. First sketch.
Why don't we have 30-second YouTube shorts called, like, A Not Quiet Place, and it's legit just, like, Travis
just
loudly defecating and getting murdered. Like, Travis's BM this morning would have gotten him killed.
Like, no, it was this specific one wanted it. It was a squirter, so it didn't. It wasn't loud.
You legit took
it just
the.
Popped out.
It's. I'm thinking Jeff Daniels is Dumb and Dumber, right?
No, man, because I ate some leftover Chinese food last night and I was just ripping it up a storm. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, imagine you eat tainted pork and rice and your stomach is just gurgling horribly. Like, that would get you killed. You're dying all over the place in this world. You can't live silent.
I'm just like, how are you getting through Scran, PA without finding food that makes you fart?
Exactly. Like, I don't know anything about Scranton, PA, but I'm just picturing lots of, like, Polish food, just cabbage and beef dishes.
Maybe their house had a designated farting pillow every time you fell on coming.
That'd be amazing.
Just sit on it.
Just like an incredibly fancy hemorrhoid donut that they've built up. Like, just shocks on
it
the side.
It was made by, like, their grandmother.
Yeah. This is so I could fart in front of my husband and not be killed, because that was the custom in those days.
But they couldn't poop in toilets, right? They had to poop outside?
Yeah.
I guess.
Because the sound of, like, plopping shit in water.
You're literally controlling... You're controlling your butthole to not make noise. I mean, it's just... I love it, but it's a little unrealistic.
They had litter boxes.
Oh, God.
I don't know if they actually did.
No,
that would make sense.
It makes complete sense now that you say it. They just found
they
some elementary
sand
school.
Everywhere, yeah. So they could walk in.
They found a sandbox at a church, and that's just where they make their make. But yeah, you can't even like stand to pee. Even peeing on the leaves would get these monsters riled up. And then they're going to attack your dick piece, and no one wants to live through that.
Gross.
Yeah.
They pee in each other's mouths?
I mean,
just thinking off the top of my head, yeah. I wouldn't even whip my dick out. I'd just pee down my leg and just be like, hey.
There's a thought.
Just like, I'm going to walk around with like pee stains on my pants because I don't want to die.
So you're just pulling a Travis.
I do that on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so I don't want to cut into my 40 drinking time by walking to the bathroom. I just sit on my couch. And...
You're like, it's Netflix. I could pause, but did the director intend me to pause? No. All right, man, that's an hour. We can get the hell out of here.
All right.
There
it is. Whoop, there it is.
Yes. An hour episode, just like Howard wanted. All right, everyone who made it this far, thanks again for listening to Papa's Basement. If you liked the show, and I hope you did, youtube.com/Papa's Basement. We do a bunch of content there. All the episodes at inpapasbasement.com, as well as my writing. If you want to read any of that stuff, if you do iTunes, if you do Stitcher, that's your main means of podcasting. You can find Papa's Basement there, PAPA apostrophe S. Real fast, I want to plug a charity event that I am going to be at on Saturday night. A couple weeks ago, we had on Dan Kaufman, a vet and a DC area comedian who's involved, actually founded the Float On charity, where we shove vets in PT into sensory deprivation tanks. He says it's to cure PTSD. Sounds like it's a flashback machine, but I hope it does treat them well and he isn't just some like sick guy who we're promoting. Like, he's just Jigsaw from Saw. he just puts vets in there and they all freak out and he laughs his ass off watching it on closed circuit television. But
I mean, either way, it's I would like to see that.
Yeah, either way, he's doing something. Yeah. And like, that's important in life. This Saturday, April 21st at Summers in Arlington, Summers Bar and Grill, I believe 8 p.m. There's like a comedy show benefit there. I will be there. Hope to see you there as well. It goes to a good cause to help Dan Kaufman further his madness and torment our brave boys and girls. Travis, Howard, do your pluggies, your pluggy uggies.
I'm at Travis Doerward. I'm now Travis Teacup Doerward on Twitter. Not the Twitter handle. But
yeah. Twitter handle still at Travis Doerward.
I'm officially Teacup.
And Howard is Basement Howard.
Yes, on Twitter. That's where I am. So.
You should give them all follows, and then we can all do fun Twitter stuff together. I'm at Papa's Basement and Facebook.com/Papa's Basement. All right. Till the next one, we're out of here.
I'll poop my pants again.
I made it, boo-boo.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.